Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, bye.
Well, being a man increase.
Prime time with Asachi and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
I would crush it.
All right, nice to have you along. Tuesday program, Rop and Sook. Let's get to our polls. They are on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you, what did we ask you? We asked you which era of Duck football was or is the most fun. What do you think won?
I might say this one, simply because there's so much excitement about where this is going, but the Chip Kelly one should win.
Well, which one is it?
I'm saying this one. This one won, but it shouldn't.
Chip Kelly era.
Good.
59%.
That's the one that should win.
Dan Lanning era, 34%. And the Brooks Bilotti era, 7%.
You know, people love what's recent and, you know, unanimous number one and people saying that you're the favorite.
Well, they are better now.
I see people getting caught up in it.
But more fun?
Yeah.
Come on.
No.
Was there anything more fun than that run?
That Chip four-year run was bananas.
If you're a Duck fan, that is.
Just didn't end the way you wanted it to end.
And then, of course, I put the Brooks Bilotti era on there for the old school people who are like, I wish it was the way it used to be.
Well, they built that was a pretty unique thing when you think about how many coaches they had that stayed around forever. And
well, those were fun years, too.
Absolutely, and they laid the foundation for this whole thing. Say what you will about Phil and Nike and all that, but you had to make good hires, and they did. They made good hires.
So today's poll question, in honor of the college football playoff rankings coming out in about an hour, we are asking you on X at 1080 The Fan, which college football team is most overrated?
Mm.
Indiana, Miami,
we just rolled, brother.
BYU, or Notre Dame?
Boy, that's good.
Vote.
Well, I don't get the rain, man. It's cold, but they're...
Like, before this, I would have said Penn State.
You did know he say head cold in there?
I have no idea if that was former Notre Dame head coach. Lou Holtz.
I think he said vote for Trump.
Vote in, vote hard.
Yeah, I would have said Penn State. I was not a big Penn State guy. So this is where I'm going to go, Miami. And by the way, Miami might be the best of those teams, but Miami's most overrated because I think we look at BYU, we look at Indiana, and we think that the wheels will come off that eventually. Like, no one really...
You think they'll, like, full-on wheels off? Like,
well, wheels off, but
or
I mean...
you just mean play a better team.
Play a better team, right? Indiana hasn't really played anybody, and they won't. So if Indiana loses to Ohio State, even if it's a close game, we're going to do the, well, look at that, see? And so I don't know how many people are fully buying into Indiana. BYU won the Big 12, not a ton of respect for it. And BYU, you know, it's the Mormon thing. And we just, like, BYU just doesn't have the horses. We know that. So I don't think any people really consider BYU a national title contender. Notre Dame, it's like, God, you lost to Cincinnati. So again, there's expectations there. But with Miami, people look at Miami and they look at Cam Ward and they look at Martinez and Restrepo and they're undefeated. And so, like, people talk about Miami like they're a national title contender. Miami is overrated. Miami is a one-dimensional team that plays no defense that's very lucky to be undefeated. So even though this is, like, two things can be true, Miami may be the best of those teams. Don't get me wrong. If we played on a neutral field, I'm not certain that Miami doesn't come out of that with those four, but Miami is overrated in that people are giving them the benefit of the doubt and not to those others, and I am not. Because having watched Miami play, they are damn lucky, and they don't play defense at all. So okay. Miami is my answer.
So vote and vote hard. I will say that Miami, with three games remaining, you know, I was thinking about the playoffs. You know, they could be the number one seed in the whole thing.
If some other people stumble.
Well, Oregon, we need to lose,
yeah,
and they could in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah,
Miami is undefeated, and they have Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse left.
Sure.
And then in the ACC, and not that they won't lose one of those games, they very easily could.
But more than likely, they will not.
They should be favored in all three.
Yes.
And then they'll be 12-0, and they have the ACC title game, and that'll probably be like, what, SMU?
SMU, unless Pitt? I'd have to look and see what SMU has, but I believe SMU has the inside track.
I mean... Yeah, that's doable that they're 13-0 and
we just
Oregon
rolled, brother.
Stumbles. Who's left for number one?
No, I mean, it's a valid point.
They'd be the number one
seed. And if they are number one, that will be a really, really flawed number one team. And like, again, not that Miami can't win. They're just, they have to beat someone 45-42, which you can do.
Hey, they beat Ball State 62-0.
Ooh, very exciting. We have seen, and this is why I like Oregon this year, is that Oregon can beat you in more than one way. When we have seen teams like this traditionally that have these unbelievable offenses that score a gajillion points and can beat you with you know, throwing the ball, running the ball, but they don't really play one side and the schedule is a little soft. We've seen in the past when those teams play balanced teams, like think about those Oklahoma teams with like Jason White and Heupel and those guys. And they would then go to the big dance and they would play like Florida, right? And Florida doesn't have an offense that looks like Oklahoma, but it was a balanced team. It was a real team. They would just get the break speed off of them. I mean, if you play Miami and you just get a handful of stops, you can beat them. They are very, very one-dimensional. They're just the inverse of like Penn State or Iowa, and that they just, you know, they need to beat you 17 to, you know, or I guess 20-17, and Miami needs to beat you 45-42. And I just don't like one-dimensional teams when you play against better squads. So I'm not a Miami believer.
Yeah, you gotta grind it out. You got to be able to grind it out.
Yeah.
That's what the SEC teams always do.
Yes.
You know?
They drag you into deep water.
All those championship teams, they grind it out. And, you know, Michigan was that last year, too.
Yes.
They just grind you. And Oregon has a little bit of that this year.
Feels like it.
But you're right. Miami doesn't.
No.
Like, you drag them into that type of game.
Well, I'll tell you what. Their offense doesn't blink. Their offense going to still sling it. But it's like, if you're waiting on Miami to get a big stop, and that's what you need to do. Like, you don't have to be the world's best defense, but you need to be able to get off the field on third down or make a big red zone stop. And like some of those Oregon teams that played for national titles before, I remember the year with like Casey Matthews and those guys. That was not a great defense by any stretch of the imagination.
No, they were opportunistic. They had a lot of takeaways. They held a lot of teams to field goals instead of touchdowns.
You know,
but they gave up yards.
They gave up yards. They took chances. But it was with a dynamic offense, you could get away with that. And Miami doesn't have that. Miami just has a bad defense with a really, really good offense and a guy who may be the best player in college football in Cam Ward. And you need that. And you need him every week to show up, because if you don't, you get beat. And they should have been beat a couple times this year.
I feel like that's defense now in college football, though.
A lot of it, yeah.
It's like the stats don't look the same as they used to, because it's really, you know, I mean, like you could be a good defense and give up 30 a game.
Yeah.
I'm serious. You can in college football.
Yeah.
Like nobody really, you look around college football, nobody really has a lockdown defense at all.
No, but
I don't like
that you give up 35 to Cal and Virginia Tech. And,
well, No, I'm not saying,
Duke.
I'm not making a case for Miami. What I'm saying is the idea of good defense what that is has changed.
Absolutely.
And it's changed to the point of what you're saying. It's like Oregon gave up 34 to Boise, 32 to Ohio State. They'll give up points. But key third downs, not beating yourself with penalties and stupid things like that, and just having big studs. You mentioned Clay Matthews. You know, just having big studs that go make a play when you need a play.
Yeah.
And that's part of what we're talking about when you grind out these games. That's really what defense is. It's not measured by, they only give up 200 yards per game anymore. It's just not, that's not sustainable in college football anymore.
I mean, look at the Oregon-Ohio State game. Both of those offenses kind of did what they wanted. But both of those defenses made plays. You had the big strip with Harmon, right? That was a huge turning point.
And you frankly had another one with Bosa that didn't get called.
That didn't get called. Ohio State had a monster stop at the end to get the ball back, right? And give them a chance.
Fourth and goal,
And keep them out of the end zone. You know, they both of those squads made plays to give their team the chance to win. And then, you know, you can say what you will. Like, Ohio State kind of S'd the bed. But Oregon's defense ultimately held them. You know, they ran out of time, but they held them. They didn't give it up at the end. So it's like, you know, and both of those are really good teams, but you're right in that neither one of those defenses, because we talk about them both as being good defensive teams. If we're being honest, neither one of those defenses played great. I mean, it's just, there were multiple times in each game where you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, they made plays, but across the board, they didn't get stops.
No.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that Georgia has a good defense?
They do, but it's not the Georgia defense that we're used to seeing.
Okay, but they have a good defense.
They have a good defense.
Yeah, well, they gave up 41 to Alabama.
Exactly.
And they still have a good defense. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Because, and like you said, in the second half, they finally pulled their head out of their ass and were like, oh, we should probably play. And yet they still couldn't get a stop at the end.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, someone saying last year, UW had a timely defense last year. Wasn't a good defense, but it was a timely defense.
Championship level defense.
And it got them because they had a dynamic offense. That's the sort of team that I'm talking about.
Well, and that was the kind of team that, like, Oregon team that played Ohio State was that way.
Yes.
The offense with Mariota was amazing. Defense didn't quite have the dudes. Was opportunistic.
Penix and Adunze and Polk and all those guys. That
same
offense
model
was bananas. And you had enough dudes at the end between Muhammad, who's nicely on Oregon this year, and some of those edge guys. And it was enough. It was enough until you played.
Not quite.
Well, yeah. That's,
not quite enough.
It was enough until the very last game?
It was enough to the very last game. And then you played Michigan. It was like, Michigan was real good.
Vote on our poll question on X at 1080 The Fan today. It is, which college football team is most overrated? Indiana, Miami, BYU, Notre Dame. Vote hard. Coming up next, the NFL trade deadline has come and gone. Why is it so lopsided? Here's Buck.